Blog Talk Radio.
A little less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more bite, a little less bark, a little less fight, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart, and baby, satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby. Baby, close your eyes and listen to the music. Dig to the summer breeze. It's a groovy night, and I can show you how to use it. To come along with me and put your mind at ease. Hey! Less conversation, a little more action. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more bite, a little less spark. A little less fight, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart, and baby, satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby. Come on, baby, I'm tired of talking.
Good evening, Southern California horse racing fans. Eddie the Hat with you on a beautiful Sunday evening here in Southern California. And thank you for tuning in, whether it be live or archived, to another episode of Backstretch Chatter. New time, new date, all sorts of fun and interesting stuff is happening. If you found us again, thank you for tuning in. And we have moved our show from Thursday morning till Sunday night, which is going to be until further notice. And that is, of course, so that we can bring you some more entertaining folks from the racetrack that were having problems participating due to the time that we had. So we decided to move the show to Sunday night. Instead of doing a preview for the upcoming week, we're going to be doing a recap and talking a little bit about the upcoming week. And I can tell you right now, folks, that Pleasanton is opening on Thursday, and we have our Northern California correspondent, Josh Hanna, who's joining us. And good evening to you, Josh.
Good evening to you, too.
And we're going to have him telling us a little bit about the ins and outs of Pleasanton, which, again, is going to be opening their gates on Thursday. And let's take care of a little bit of business before we get rolling here and let everybody know that we're brought to you each and every week by Horse Racing -selections.com. And if you haven't had an opportunity to visit the website, please do so now. We have a low daily rate, low money saving packages, and all sorts of fun and games and entertainment that we can help you take advantage of winning at the racetrack and making your day more enjoyable. So all you need to do is visit us at horseracing-selections.com. We have a free play out there each and every day for you as well. And if you want to follow us along on Twitter, all you need to do is type in horse racing pick, and we'll get that same pick tweeted to your home office or mobile device. All right, Josh.
What's
you follow Northern California. Let me let everybody know, you come from a very solid horse racing background. And why don't you just introduce yourself? This is the, well, I think this, you've been on the show quite a bit in the past, but why don't you let the listeners know how you got into the game and what your family did as far as horse racing goes?
Okay, so my father was a jockey for 18 years, and throughout his life, he's you know been interested in horse racing. He dropped out of high school when he was 15, and he started riding at the Pleasanton Racetrack, which we're going to talk about tonight. And you know, I got my passion from him. And my uncle, he does the photo finish at Golden Gate Fields. He clicks the button when they, you know, they cross the wire, and he takes the picture. And then my other uncle delivers the racing forms for all the Northern California tracks, Golden Gate, and all the fair circuit courses.
So
you know, I've had a huge passion since I was a little kid. Probably I started handicapping when I was about, you know, 5 or 6 years old. I started to learn how to read the racing form and, you know, kind of figure out, you know, what to do.
Right.
Yeah, it's just, it takes a while to, you know, get a good method down as to how you should handicap. But.
Right. Well, I think, you know, everybody that's involved in the game, I think they pretty much start out at a young age. You get it in your blood early, and it's kind of hard to
get it out.
I think the worst thing that you can do is to have early success with horse racing, because then you think, well, God, this game is easy. And, you know, you and I talk a lot during the week, and we know it's anything but that.
Gambling in any sort is not easy. Horse racing, on the other hand, is probably more one of the more types of gambling to have success at, because there's so many different, you know, different horses in the race and stuff like that. If you're betting other stuff,
right,
you kind of have a 50-50 chance, which is still difficult. But
well, you know, back in the day when I was a pup, which was many, many, many years ago, when I first started in the game, you had win, place, and show, daily levels, and exactas. And that's it.
Yeah.
And so many people now, they'll go to the track, and I think, you know, they get overwhelmed. I think they get confused. And I like to think of myself as a old school gambler. In other words, I don't really pay a lot of attention to the trifectas and the superfectas and the super high fives. I like to pick five. I like to pick fours. The triples, the pick threes can be interesting. But, I think one of the reasons it's become very hard for people is there are so many ways to bet too, Josh, and they kind of lose their way, instead of just betting a horse to win in place, a lot of times they'll bet it to win in place, and then they'll put it in the superfectas or the trifectas, or they'll fumble the football and they won't bet the horse separately, and
yeah,
the horse may win, but they end up walking away from the window with nothing.
Yeah, it's difficult enough to, you know, pick one horse, let alone, you know, like you said, all these guys that, you know, they dump all this money into the super high five pool. And, you know, if you put a bunch of money into that, I mean, yeah, you might hit one time over, you know, let's say 10 years or something. You know, it's really difficult to hit. And that's why
right,
they pay out so much. So
right. The pick five, the takeout, is fabulous. And the fact that it's a you know, it's a minimum 50-cent wager. The late pick four is a 50-cent wager, and I think that helps a lot. The thing that people don't realize, and they'll ask me when I go to the track with a lot of people, you know, why don't you like playing the pick five, or why don't you play the pick six, because the chances of winning, you know, making a huge score is there. But what they fail to realize, somebody like myself likes to look at the horses in the flesh. And when you're betting, you know, the exotic wagers, you are the pick six. You know, you're betting five, you know, you're betting one race, you can see the horses, but then you've got five races left that you're basically betting on horses blind that you're not going to be able to look at.
Yeah, and another point to that is, for instance, I do, you know, I'll put some money in when the carryover is, you know, somewhat decent. But, for example, let's say, you know, we go deep into, a pick six ticket, right? And we single one leg. Let's say, you know, that horse is on the track, and just like what you're saying, and the horse is just absolutely washed out, you know.
Yeah.
And what do you do there? I mean, you're just absolutely dead. I mean, typically when a horse washes out, they don't win. Or
no.
If you're single scratches, then you go to the favorite. And, you know, what if you don't like the favorite? I mean, it's just difficult.
Right.
And then on top of that, the pick six is at like Santa Anita in Del Mar. It's a $2 minimum, right?
Right.
So I mean, you have to have a pretty deep pocket to, you know, to invest in a pick six. And sometimes, you know, sometimes they pay out pretty good. But if you're a person that goes and just puts, you know, $18, $24 into a ticket, I mean, you're not going to be able to spread out that much.
No, and that's happened to me quite a bit. It happens to me more times than I would like to say with triples and the pick four, where you go, you'll hit the first two or three legs, and then the horses will get led into the paddock, and you'll be seeing a couple of horses, and the horse that you really like is just totally washed out. He's dripping wet. Or maybe he's short walking in the paddock, and you just don't like the looks of him, and you're stuck. And
yeah.
I'm not trying to talk people out of playing the exotics. I just want to point out how hard they are to hit.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say another, you know, one of my biggest strategies as a handicapper is, you know, I try to stay away from the pick fours, pick fives, and pick sixes. But the pick three is an awesome way to make money. So, for example, it's a dollar bet, and what I'll do is I'll go two by two by single. So I'll find my best bet of the day, and I'll do a pick three to it, and it'll cost me $4 because I go two by two by single. And I won't just have it one time. You know, I'll do it like 10 times or 20 times. And, you know, it'll end up costing me $40 or $80. But then whatever the pick three pays, I get that, you know, 10 or 20 times. And that's usually a pretty good payout.
Right, right.
So
yeah,
there's
definitely ways to hit homers, you know, at the track. But, folks, when you go out there, don't forget, if you like a horse in a particular race, please always have at least win money on the horse, and then go ahead and maybe have a little bit more fun, try to get more bang for your buck, so to speak. But just don't ever don't lose sight of concentrating, and when you head out there to, you know, to bet the old school way and make sure you have win. And if the price is right, make sure you back the horse up. You know, I can't stress that enough. So, all right.
Yeah.
Let's let's head out real quick. We're going to give you the trainer and jockey standings as they were going into today. We have Rafael Bejarano with 28 wins, Flavian Pratt with 25, Tyler Bays, 22, Maldonado with 18, and then we have Joe Talamo with 16, and Santiago Gonzalez with 13. And again, folks, that the standings heading into today, Sunday. As far as the trainer standings, we have Phil D'Amato leading the way with 17, Sadler and Mike Pipey with 9, Jerry Hollendorfer with 8, and then we have 4 tied with 7. Richard Baltos, Bob Baffert, Richard Mandela, and Peter Urton. So those are the standings coming into today, Sunday. And a couple of horses that won this weekend that were intriguing to us. We had Ohio win today at a nice $7. This was a horse that we have liked since he made his debut at 11-1. Tried the Grade 3 American last time on a wet, fast track. Didn't care for it. Was reunited today on the turf with Brees Blanc. Perfect ride, 5-2, $7. Congratulations to his connections. Now, Josh, you had a horse that ran on Friday that you liked from the Jeff Bondi stable, Right Hand Man. Can you tell us a little bit about him? Because he looks like he could be a nice one.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be a good horse. I know Jeff Bondi fairly well. He's like a second dad to me. And, you know, Jeff always seems to get these two-year-olds that are just absolute runners. You know, these 2-3-year-olds and stuff like that, the younger horses that he gets are just, you know, very fast. And I feel like this is a type of horse, you know, that's going to do very well. And I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up running that horse in a stake race at Pleasanton, because that track right there, that'll fit him real well.
Right. Now, this is a 2-year-old. Colt that was purchased at Barrett's for $120,000. He's a son of Street Boss, out of a Storm Queen mare. Was written by Stuart Elliott and paid $820,000. Won like a good thing, and he had been working well up to his debut, and I think that we're going to be seeing a lot more of him. In the future, very impressive debut win from him. All right, when we come back, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk to Josh about Pleasanton, his home base, and which opens its doors on Thursday, and what you should look for there, what to expect, what kind of track it is. And also want to remind everybody that we are off at Santa Anita until Thursday. However, when we do return, first post will be at 1:30, and there will be a pick six carryover into Thursday's card of $68,570. Okay, this is your cue. Go refresh your beverage of choice, because I know some of you are having an adult cocktail right now. And when we come back, we'll have the second half of Backstretch Chatter.
Well, now me and Homer Jones and Big John Talley had a big crap game going back in the alley. And I kept rolling them sevens and winning all them pots. My luck was so good I could do no wrong. I just kept on rolling and controlling them bones. Finally they just threw up their hand and said, "When you hot, you hot." I said, "Yeah. When you're hot, you're hot. And when you're not, you're not." big old car. He said, hello, boys. Then he gave us a grin and said, look like I'm going to have to haul y'all in and keep all that money back.
All right, folks, thank you for joining us for the second half of Backstretch Chatter. I am Eddie the Hat, and in studio we have Josh Hanna with us, our Northern California correspondent. Josh, I almost forgot about this. We have a little race on Saturday called the Belmont Stakes.
Yeah, well, I don't think I've ever heard of that race, huh?
No. And you know, the funny thing is, not only did we have the winner, but we had the runner-up, so we hit the exacta in that race. So congratulations to the clients who were cashing on that. But I want to let everybody know, before I pat myself too much on the back, that I really wasn't interested in the Belmont too much this year. And I think a lot of that had to do, we got spoiled last year with American Pharoah and what happened, and we suffered a letdown, or as the racing people like to say, we kind of bounced a bit. And the winner that we had, our creator, paid a very nice $34.80, came back to Destin for a $2 exacta, which was worth $2.69. Josh, I'd like to say that I put hours and hours and hours perusing the past performances, but I didn't. So maybe I found the secret to picking the race, and is just kind of looking the PPs over and going with your gut.
Yeah, that's your gut. You know, you always have to go with your gut, your first instincts in those type of races, because you never know what's going to happen. Anything can happen. They're all, you know, great horses, and you don't know what kind of fractions are going to be set. You don't know if it's going to be raining. You know, I feel that Exaggerator, you know, kind of got unlucky, because after that race, I was watching the TV, and, you know, they were interviewing, you know, the connections to the winner, and it just started pouring. So
yeah.
I feel that, you know, Exaggerator loves the slop. And,
right.
You know, I didn't pick Exaggerator because in races like that, I typically don't pick favorite because so many different things can happen. But, you know, I feel like it would be a little bit of a different story if it would have rained. But, you know, I like the winner too. It's just so many different things can happen. So, you know.
Right. Well, we kind of went in his direction because I think he's promising. He's got some promise. He was fresh. He was coming into the race in good form. And I liked the trainer. I've always liked Steve Ashmussen. And the runner-up, obviously, was easy to use, Todd Fletcher. And he had won over the track. And I think, you know, and it was funny because on our sports show we had a guest who really liked Lonnie. And so if anybody had listened to that, they might have walked away with a huge trifecta. That's the way horse racing is. You know, you can spend a day and a half looking at the card and going over this and then not have any success at all. And then the next day, you know, you'll look at the PPs and you'll say, well, yeah, I remember this horse. We'll use him. And then you'll move to the next race and you say, oh, yeah, I remember this horse. This horse had some trouble last time. And it might take you 10 minutes to do that card, and you'll do better with the 10-minute card than you will with the day and a half.
Yeah, very true.
You know,
I agree with
so,
that. because you don't want to use a sport and spend too much time with it. You know, if I get serious, and I know I have a bunch of friends that are going to the track, I'll watch all the previous races on all the horses. But since I play Golden Gate and Santa Anita, I typically remember which horse is which, and he had a bad trip, and he looked washed out last time, and he's not washed out today. So just little small things like that are huge.
Right. All right, why don't you go ahead and tell us what to expect? We got about 3-4 minutes left for people who are waiting for Pleasanton to open. What can they expect when the gates open and they start running to Pleasanton if nobody has ever been there before?
Okay, so Pleasanton, it's a dirt racetrack. For one, and you're going to see a lot of horses that are, coming from Golden Gate, because Golden Gate just ended.
Right.
So you're gonna expect probably some short fields, 5-6 horse fields. Occasionally you'll get maybe a 10 horse field. And the thing that I really love about Pleasanton is that track is so predictable. I've been going to that track since I was a little kid. And speed is huge there. If you're not close to the lead, I feel bad for you. But, there are occasional races where you'll see a bunch of closers, maybe make a run for it and, steal it right out of the wire. But typically you're going to want a horse with speed. When I study Pleasanton, I go through the form, and I try to look for that race where, that horse is going to get the lead and he's going to get it comfortably. There's not going to be anybody pressuring him, or, he's not going to have to duel for a lead.
Right.
And he won't get tired, and that track is so hard, they typically don't get tired anyways. So speed is the thing that I look for at Pleasanton. That's the biggest key there.
Okay, what do you know offhand? What is it, a mile track, or is it a?
Yes, Pleasanton is the oldest mile track in the United States.
Okay, so they do have so it's not considered a bull ring, but it's a
it's two turns. Ferndale's the bull ring. They just go one turn there.
Okay. Now, Pleasanton, this meet, is this considered a fair meet? Is it like the start of
the... Yeah, it's part
of
the fair circuit.
Okay, all right. So you're going to have a variety of low-level claimers and...
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
I was looking at the overnight for Thursday, and I've seen a couple $2,500 races. You're going to get the 6,250s. You're going to get the $4,000 races. But you're also going to get the 12.5s. And, there's a wide variety. You're not going to see any grade one races or anything like that. But there's an occasional, $50,000 stake race that, you'll have some Santa Anita shippers that'll run in there because the competition is a little bit weaker than what they would see at Santa Anita or Del Mar.
Okay. All right. Well, Josh, thank you for spending the evening with us. And if you're going to be around next Sunday, maybe we can have you back on and you can tell us what happened a little bit opening week up there.
Good. And thanks for having me. And another piece of advice real quick is don't bet the 3-5 shots. Try to stay away from those. Look for Jeff Bondi. He's a very good trainer there, and he always does well. And also Jonathan Wong, he's going to be doing very well too.
Oh, awesome. Okay, well, we'll look for John. Yeah, we know Jonathan. He's been on our show in the past. So, all right, folks. Well, Josh, again, thank you. And we'll look forward to maybe having you on next week again.
Sounds good.
And for everybody else, good luck. Don't forget First Post at Santa Anita on Thursday is 1:30, and there is a $68,570 pick six carryover into Thursday's card. And until next week, Sunday at 8 p.m., good luck with all your wagers, and we hope to be standing next to you in the cashier's line. Talk to you next week.